This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Now, before we get into some details with regards to the banking sector in Malaysia, a quick update on the FBM KLCI, which is still in the red, is actually down 0.2% to 1530. Now, in an effort for financial inclusion in Malaysia, Bank Negara, of course, earlier this year announced, well, actually not earlier this year, a few years ago, announced an effort to kickstart digital banking in the country. And in June, it had received 29 applications for up to 5 digital banking licenses, in which the winners will be announced in the first quarter of 2022.
So who are these applicants? They come from a broad range, state governments, telco companies, e-commerce players to traditional banks. But the sector also received not so great news recently, as the Ministry of Finance instructed banking institutions to work on interest waivers for borrowers in the B50 income bracket that will last for 3 months in the last quarter of the year. So what's next for the banking sector, and how will the digital banking license impact the industry?
So for an outlook on this sector, we speak to Clement Chua, a senior equity analyst from Kenanga Group. Good morning, Clement. Now, what are the key differences, I think we need to establish this upfront, between digital and traditional banks in terms of the requirements, products, and even customer focus?
The two key items that sets them apart from traditional banks is that at least within the first 3 to 5 years, which is what we would call a foundational phase, is that their capital must not be less than 100 million and their total asset size should not be more than 3 billion. So there is a cap towards how big a digital bank should be. And I guess this reason is to make sure that for a new entity like a digital bank that is still in a way in its incubation stage, they do not grow too large to the point that it could possibly shake up the financial markets in the event if things do go south. So those two are probably the main restrictions that the digital banks will have to face. And in terms of products and customer focus, Bank Negara has been very clear that the points of having a digital bank is to cater to the underserved or hard-to-reach segments and the micro SMEs. And product-wise, this is something that really sets a digital bank apart from a traditional bank, is that it would open the concept of creating personalized products for customers. This could possibly include things like spending habits of a certain account, or maybe just a rate of inflow within a certain deposit, and some other information which might not be reflected within the traditional credit scoring evaluation. And this itself could help a digital bank with determining what would be the fair interest to this account's, I guess, evaluation, per se.
So with the arrival of digital banks next year, will we be seeing an erosion in market share of the listed banks?
At this point, what we need to observe is how aggressive the digital banks will be when they enter the market, because part of the two sides of NIMs that we're talking about here is one would be your asset yield and the other one would be your cost of funds. And naturally speaking, I would say that the asset yields, or maybe the interest charges that the banks would be ascribing towards your underserved or maybe your micro SMEs, it could be reflective of the risk that's attached to it. But this would also possibly be offset by the economies of scale that they plan to achieve with the digital frameworks. But on the other hand, we have the cost of funds, which is your interest expenses, or maybe for us as the consumers, you know, which is our interest income from our deposits. And if the digital banks, knowing that they can push for certain rates that are in a way more competitive than the traditional banks, probably that's where we would see a paradigm shift towards how consumers would behave, because some customers may just be new bankers to the digital banks just for the sake of having higher deposit interest gains. This is probably something that we should be paying attention to if they do offer such a rate. But at least at this moment, I would say that it will not be something that will shake up the industry too much. Partly for one is because the digital banks are encumbered by the limitations by Bank Negara, that they cannot be too big at this moment.
Meanwhile, Clement, the Ministry of Finance recently proposed an interest waiver for borrowers in the B50 income bracket that will last for 3 months in the last quarter of the year. What kind of impact will this have on the banks?
So we're not too concerned by the 3 months interest waiver for the banks because the B50 segment at this moment might not be a very huge proportion of the new moratorium accounts because the banks did say that the T20s are itself making up upwards of about 50% for certain banks of the new moratorium applicants. And why we're seeing a surge in applicants in this T20 income bracket is because most of them apparently are opting for liquidity reasons. And it's not so much on the fault that businesses are probably in trouble or there is problems with their own personal cash flow. But that being said, because of this, the B40 itself only makes up close to about a quarter of the total moratorium accounts at this moment. And by extension, the B50 itself, we do not think that lower tier of the M40 would make up too meaningfully of an extra proportion to this mix. And also, let's not forget that this waiver is only going to happen for the last 3 months of the year. And if we were to look back towards last year's moratorium, where it was for about 6 months, so these two factors itself will probably mean that the impacts that the banks are going to see will be quite mild compared to what we had incurred last year.
What is your call on the banking sector and your topics?
Well, at this moment, we are still being quite neutral on the banking sector, just for the reasons that we are still seeing that there could be some competition in terms of how the banks are going to be handling their NIMS management going forward. And also, even though we are expecting to see flattish OPR rates for now, it's not unlikely that there could be some revisions in the near term and be some pressures to the banks if, let's say, there is an increase in the OPR. And this would pair with what Bank Negara is doing next year itself, which is introducing the standard base rate, which is moving away from the previous pricing method that the banks were used to. While this will probably make new loan interest rates more comparable for consumers, this would mean that the banks would have to further reprice their new loan applicants, and this could also translate to further NIMS pressure. And also not forgetting, we are seeing digital banks coming in next year. So to the points that was mentioned earlier, like what would be the possible impact to the financial markets table. So with that, we are neutral to the banking sector. But that said, we do have some favorites, and our usual candidate for this would be Maybank, because Maybank is still known to be the dividend champion. Well, secondly, we also do like RHB as a more tactical play because among the listed banks right now, they are the only one that have applied for the digital banking license.
Thank you for your time. That was Clement Chua, a senior equity analyst from Kenanga Group, giving us his views on the banking sector. And his two favourites, Maybank, it's a dividend champion, and RHB, because they've got a roadmap for digital banking. They are one of the applicants for it. This morning, Maybank down 2 cents to 8 ringgit and 8 cents, while RHB is 5 ringgit and 41 cents. Now, if you're looking at Maybank, based on what Bloomberg is indicating, you're looking at a potential yield of 8%. So I don't know whether this is accurate, but probably explains why it's his favorite. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.